Assault.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All right, boys and girls, I'm going to need you to pick me up here. Sitting in the middle of the mountain somewhere between West Virginia and Virginia. And, man, been fighting hard to get some internet. Can you even hear me? Am I coming through, Mike?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, okay, hey, boys and girls, you just got to know this. I may not be able to hold this signal very long. I'm doing the best I can. I found a Dairy Queen out here in the middle of nowhere. I was able to pull in, and oh my goodness, what a drive through the mountains. I left about 3 o'clock this morning. I wanted to get home and see my wife and my grandbabies, and so I left out about 3 o'clock, and then oh my goodness, the rain and the fog, and I'm not griping and moaning and complaining. I'm just telling you the truth why we're running a little bit late here this morning. I can't even see. Is anybody joining us here today? All 61 people. Oh man, folks, I'm sorry. Keep you hanging like that. I really am. It's been I'm sitting. What? We got a story to tell, man. Boy, have we ever got a story to tell. And I want to give the guys rather than this being so much about what I want to say and I want to do. I want these guys to be able to tell a story of exactly what we just went through again this weekend, and more convinced than ever that one of the problems we're facing in the church. I got to speak at Pastor Clint's church last night. And man, I got to tell you something. The world, we don't know what to do. Christian men do not know what to do. One of the things I came away with again this weekend, I was so blown away, man. To think how far some of you guys came. Think of Chad Estes. I don't know how many hours, 16 hours, Chad, did you drive? I don't know how far you drove. Craig drove, Mickle drove 8-9 hours down from Maryland, and Randy flew on an airplane. And once I start talking about people coming in and driving in, I'm going to forget people. It was unbelievable. Rick drove in all the way from Springfield, Missouri. He came in with a friend. I continue to be blown away by the fact that something's happening here in the hearts of men. And I can't put a finger on it. I felt it again last night when I was speaking in the church. The idea that men, Chad Estes calls it the Lonely Hearts Club Band. And the truth of it is there are a lot of good, godly men who've dropped out of church. They're not engaged. They're not living out their faith. And I was, as I said, I was overwhelmed. Dale Socia, Pastor Dale, was MVP, if there ever was an MVP, with the stuff that he brought to that guide stone. I'm going to open it up here in a minute. Clay, I told Clay he got rid of his red stripe. He said, what's his red stripe? I said, he went, Clay Parker went from being on the JV team. He graduated to the varsity team this weekend. And Mark Trump was street preaching. First time I'd ever heard him do that. And Mark, maybe you've done it, but I never heard you do it like you did it there. Larry came. I just go on and on and on with people. They made Steve Deck and John drove down from Jersey. And man, oh man, oh man. And you know, one of the things I ask Mark to come in. I don't know if he's in here yet. Is Chad in here? Chad, you in here? I can't see anything except my screen.
Yeah, I'm in here.
So, okay, Chad. Chad, here's what I want you to do, if you can. I want you to explain to everybody what you explained to me. I said, I, because I get frustrated. I'm thinking, you know, there are thousands of us, there are millions of us out there. Why can't this catch on fire? First of all, it's not about numbers. We're a SWAT team, a spiritual weapons and tactics. We're the first guys on the beach. We go in there, we set the landmines. I understand that's what we do. But I can't for the life of me figure out why in Christianity we can't get a hold. Why can't we get a foothold into some of these churches and wake up these men who certainly sitting in their churches understand what's going on, or some degree of what's going on, understand that we're on the verge of losing our country. They certainly understand it. They understand that Christ is the answer, that the only solution is a rebirth of Christianity. They all get it, yet nobody knows what to do, where to plug in. And we were sitting down and had a meal yesterday. Now, if you're really guilty, because I've forgotten a lot of names of people that came a long way, I just apologize to you right now. A lot of you came a long way. A lot of you did.
Dave?
I was sitting at the table having, yeah, Rog.
Oh, I was just going to help you out here. Tell me, in your own opinion, when was the last time the church was in battle to learn what to do? I can't think of a time, maybe Roe Wade, maybe, I was a little kid, and maybe the Civil Rights Movement, but when was the last time that there was a battle that the church was in front of? That's why they why they don't know how to rally. There's not been any rallying for a long time.
Well, you know what? I was just listening. One good thing about being in a car as long as I've been in it is I got to listen to a recent sermon by Pastor Matt Terwilliger. I got to get that for you guys to hear it. And he's making Matt makes the same point that men can't teach what they have been taught. Men can't teach what they haven't done. And we now have a pulpit full of leaders who have never been engaged in a battle. It's foreign to them. They don't even know what to do. If maybe some of them aren't cowardly, maybe some of them don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. Why? Because no one has ever told them. And for over the last 60 years, we've been writing in the Love Boat. And that's why I'm trying to get to Chad for him to explain. He did it better yesterday at lunch, or post-lunch, whatever that thing was we had yesterday. Chad, just try to explain to people exactly what you said, because I chewed on that all afternoon, all evening, because you hit it in a nutshell. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, well, I basically explained it as the church is in there's a church sea or water area, okay? And most people, okay, are floating with some kind of life preserver. They're just riding with the waves and the current, and they're in there. They're just in there. And the pastor, he's kind of like gathering some folks here and there, and they're not in a boat though. So then you get a guy like Coach or whatever comes through there, and he's in a boat, and they're picking up a guy here, or a woman there, a guy here, a person there. They're just kind of scanning through the water, kind of like a shipwreck. So he's scanning the water, just looking for anybody.
They're sitting in their little inner tubes, right, Chad? And they're just bouncing.
Yeah, they're life preservers.
And they're life preservers.
Yeah.
They're sitting in their life preservers. They're bouncing up and down. And then a pastor comes along, and he gets in the water with them. And they're all gathered together like when the Titanic went down. And they're all holding each other's hands. And they're bouncing up and down with their life preservers. Is that the picture, Chad?
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm saying.
And then what happens, Chad? Then what happens?
And then a coach type or someone else that's trying to do something outside the box of the church, and they come through in a boat, and the preachers are yelling at them, "This is a no-wait zone. Slow that boat down. Slow that boat down."
Yep, they're floating down the lazy river.
Yep. And see, they can't see the forest because of all the trees. They can't see the forest because of all the trees.
We're going to capsize them all, Chad. We're going to capsize them, right?
Right.
And Chad, they don't even want in the boat. They just want
right.
the waves
That's
to
right.
stop, right?
Yeah,
Nobody
yeah. That's it, exactly. They don't want in. Because why? Because they've never been in a boat or been around a boat. They've never seen a boat before. They're just so, it's scary. It's going too fast. And so we're fine where we are right here. We're floating. We're okay. There's nothing wrong. There's no risk. There's no risk here. We're safe.
We got our life jackets on, and we're doing okay. We're going to make it here. We're going to survive, and we're going to go to heaven. I'm bouncing up and down with you, Chad. I see them down there, and they're paddling their little feet underneath. Then every once in a while, a guy like me comes along, and they all start to scream, "Oh, no! Slow down! No wake zone!" That's the picture of it, isn't it? That's the picture.
They don't know.
And the I'm not hearing it. I don't know whether it's on my end or Chad's end. So if there's okay, folks, do you understand it? Do you see that picture? Because when he was talking to me, I said, "Dude, that is it, man. That's it." And they don't know any better. And they got their arms wrapped around. You see the movie Titanic, and those guys are all out in the lifeboats, and people come bobbing along, right? And so here comes a guy like me, or here comes a guy like, pick anybody, Mark Trapp comes flying through there, and Chad comes flying through there, and we're in a speedboat, and they just want the waves to stop. That's all. They're just comfortable. They just want the waves to stop. And I come along and make waves. They don't like it. They don't like it. And then there are other guys who are up on the shore, and they're not even in the water, but they're looking in, and they're saying, something's seriously wrong here. There's something seriously wrong. And they look down at the church and say, I ain't gonna go get a life jacket and get in there with them. They're no better off than I am. That's where we are.
Well, Dave, and I think the final analogy there is when the seas and the waters are not always smooth. They can be stormy and rough. And then eventually the storm comes and it tears everybody who's holding on to each other's tube apart.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. And another thing, Coach, is on the way to the life preservers in your boat, you passed a bunch of sharks headed their way.
Uh-huh.
And you're warning them, sharks are coming. Sharks are getting the boat. I'll save you. I'll help you. They're like, there's no sharks out here. There's no sharks.
Or Mark, they say, well, I'm going to be out of the water before the sharks get here. I'll be out of the water before they get here. They're not going to get to me because God's not appointed me under wrath. So I'm just going to paddle my feet here a little bit, and I'll get over to the edge, and I'll find a dock, and I'll get out. I'll be okay. And it's all self-focused and all about them and all about their own survival. And I continue to be amazed. I think of a guy like Rick Simpson. I don't even know if Rick's in here. Rick Simpson, I've known Rick for, I don't know, 15 years, maybe longer. He lives in Springfield, Missouri. And he got in his car, and he drove with us, and he came all the way to Bill Barr's house, to Obama's house, to Joe Biden's house, drove all the way back to Springfield, Missouri, and he finds out we're going to go down to the Guidestones, and he gets in his car, and he comes again. He says, why? Because, man, I got the smell of smoke on me. Oh, I like it. I like the way it smells. That's my great frustration. Get out of the life preserver, dudes. Get in the skidoo here, man. Get in this, what do they call those things? This jet ski. Come on, get in the jet ski. Let's go.
Hey, Coach, that reminds me, that's a good analogy that Chad came up with, but it also reminds me of the shark movie, Jaws, where the sheriff is standing on the shore, and he tells everybody, get out of the water, the sharks are coming, and they're like, and then he gets chastised by the mayor, okay, what are you doing scaring all the people?
Right. Glad, that's it, Glenn. And in the meantime, there are people out there bobbing up and down in their life jacket, and their legs have been bitten off.
No, Coach, they're all saying God's going to save me.
Yep.
And look, Coach, they all die, and they get there, and then he says, they said, well, Lord, why didn't you save me? When they get to heaven, they said, why didn't you save me? And he said, I tried to. I sent all these people with these boats, and you wouldn't get in them.
That's right. What a picture.
Well, Dave, you were right. They got their legs bit off, but the men got their legs bit off a little bit higher.
I know what you're saying, man. They got snipped, didn't they?
But you know what, Coach? While they, I don't know who told me the story, the girl knocked off the boat and somebody came by with a jet ski to get her out of the water. And she raised her phone up in the air and said, "Here, save my phone. Save my phone."
Oh, folks, listen. See, here's, that's why I gotta, I'm gonna try to copy everybody. Hey, listen, as we're doing this, Mike, I don't know if you're able to do this or not. Go to what's Matt Twella's website? Oh my goodness, Lord.
Defy Tyrants.
Thank you, man. DefyTyrants.com. And Mike, I don't know if you can go to Defy Tyrants and find Pastor Matt's sermon from Sunday. It was called, I can't remember. It's very, very clear. And I'm listening to it. Pardon me?
Was it Going Down the Lazy River of Life? Is that what it was?
No, it should have been. That would have been a good one. No, it's about, anyway, and because Mike, if you can get that, I want you to put it in the chat. And if you can, get it up to play. Maybe, because here's the point Matt makes. As we are living right now in the United States of America, a Christianity that's never been seen in the world ever before. Christianity has always been about conquering. It's been a conquering faith. And because during this last generation, my generation, I'll be 68 years old. During our generation, fellas, we've been trained that it's not a battleship, but it's a love boat. And in fact, we're not even supposed to fight. We're not. Matt uses the illustration of Robert Jeffress. I don't know if you guys know who he is, Robert Jeffress. He's the guy that's always on Fox News. And Robert Jeffress, who's one of the leading conservatives in the world, out of Dallas, I think he's out of Dallas. Robert Jeffress penned a commentary this weekend about how Christians now need to fall in line behind our new president and pray for him. And Matt Twella says, "Are you kidding me? You want us to fall, Christians? You want us to fall in line behind a man who wants to slaughter babies? He is for killing of babies up till the moment of birth, sometimes after birth. You want Christians to fall in line and follow some man who wants to destroy marriage?"
Hey, Coach.
And God forbid, never, ever in the history of the world would Christianity ever have fallen in line or accepted anything like that. And he says it's only been through this last generation of Christians that we've gone from this battleship to this love boat. We're supposed to oppose evil, not come under its wing, not pray for it. If we pray for President Biden, it ought to be in precatory prayers.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
See, it's a mindset, isn't it? We've been told Jesus loves everybody. We're all God's children. Who are you to judge? On and on and on. And Pastor Matt says, all you got to do is just go back and study the history of Christianity. And Christianity has been in conflict. Men have been in conflict with evil from the inception of Christianity. And it's only during the late 20th century and early 21st century that men have been, as Chad said, had something snipped off of them till Christian men don't even know how to fight against evil anymore. Wait a minute. Don't even know they're supposed to.
Hey, Coach, if I may jump in. I'm sorry.
Pacifism and warfare. Yeah, Mike, if you can copy that and put it in the chat.
Yeah. Christian men, so-called Christian men in most fellowships and organizations don't even acknowledge there is evil.
Okay. Well, Larry, we're supposed to love them. We're supposed to get them saved, right?
Well, the Southern Baptist Convention, if you pay attention to it at all, it's totally going behind Biden. It's supporting, going so far as to say he's a man of good character. It's ridiculous.
Right.
It is ridiculous.
Hey, that Coach,
these leaders are saying these things.
Yes, sir. Yeah, hey, yeah, Dale.
Listen up and put up your antennas, Church. Joe Biden is willing to go where no liberal or president has gone before. He said, "I will make abortion legal." In other words, if they were to get the Senate, they would pass a bill in the House and in the Senate and put it on his desk to make now Roe versus Wade a law, which has never been attempted before.
And the message from the pulpit is Romans 13, honor those who are in authority. Hey, Mike, is there any way that you can play just even 5 minutes of this thing so you guys can get a feel for this? Because I think he goes to. Just play 6 minutes of this, folks, and listen to what Pastor Matt has to say here.
Here in verses 1 and 2 reveal yet again that God is not a pacifist. I mean, he's talking about his people knowing how to war. This passage here reminds us yet again that pacifism is a heresy, because pacifism is contrary to the nature of God and contrary to God's very person. It is a heresy, therefore. Exodus 15:3 says plainly, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. And the Lord does in fact war. For example, Psalm 7, verses 11 through 13 states, God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, if the wicked does not turn back from his evil, he, talking about the Lord, will sharpen his sword. He, talking about the Lord, bends his bow and makes it ready. He, talking about the Lord, also prepares for himself instruments of death. He, talking about the Lord, makes his arrows into fiery shafts. And the scriptures are full of texts which reveal that God is not a pacifist, that he is a man of war. From Genesis to Revelation, the scriptures reveal that the Lord wars in the earth. And here we see the scripture reveals that the Lord allowed these pagan peoples to remain in the land he had given to his people for two reasons. Verse 1, now these are the nations which the Lord left that he might test Israel by them. There's the first reason. He left them there to test Israel, to see if they were true to him or they would rebel against him and follow after the pagan people's gods, their false gods. And second, it goes on to say that the reason he left them there, he says, that is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. This was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war. At least those who had not formerly known it. So this is the second reason. He left them there, number one, so he could test his people. Will they be true to me or not in the midst of these pagan people around them? Or will they follow after their gods? And second, so that the generations of children of Israel might be taught to know to war. God wanted them to know war. And notice who he wanted taught to war. It says at the end of verse 1 there, that is all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. In other words, it's the next generation. Verse 2 says, this was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it. He wanted the next generation to learn how to war. These pagan nations, these pagan peoples, afforded the Israelites practical experience in warfare. They needed to learn how to fight. They would one day confront major powers like Egypt and Assyria rather than just the Hivites, the Hittites, the Moabites, and them guys. Practical experience in warfare was needed. The pagans would provide the opportunity for warfare, and the previous generation was to teach the younger generation warfare. The previous generation was to teach the younger subsequent generation warfare. Notice who would lead the Israelites against the oppressor here in chapter.
Folks, up my if you can put that in the chat. So ask yourself this. What kind of Christianity are we passing on to our sons? And we wonder why our sons get to be 17 years old and they want to mess around with porn. They want to get drunk and drink beer and they want to chase chicks. And they want nothing to do with the church. We have created the worst worst generation of Christian men in the history of the world. Why? Because we've sissified them.
Amen.
We've told them there's not something Amen. To fight for. There's not something to die for. We've taught them tolerance and diversity and who are you to judge and don't be mean and don't say harsh things and don't yell. That's what we've taught them. And they're bobbing out there in their life jackets.
You know why, Coach? Because we thought the war was over.
We thought it was over.
That's an arrow there, Joe.
Peace. Peace everywhere. We've done with Vietnam. We've come back. We survived it. And pretty much that was it.
Yeah, we thought the evacuation or...
Saigon.
Yeah. The evacuation helicopters called Rapture were on their way.
Larry, you know something, fellas? The thought right now, listen to me now. The thought of a Christian man taking up a weapon is almost anathema in the church. You know that I'm telling you the truth, right? The thought that a Christian man would take up arms against wickedness is unspoken. You're not. If you do that, they will lock you in a cage someplace. If you bring that up in the church, you're supposed to pray for them. Get them saved. Anybody hearing what I'm saying?
Amen. Come on, Coach. Come on. Come on, Coach.
Something's wrong here. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there is a time for war. There is a time for war. But it's just a spiritual war, isn't it? Just a spiritual war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So all of a sudden, we went from a God who slaughtered thousands of people to a God now who got born again and now he just loves everybody. The worst
hey, Coach.
Worst generation of Christian men in the history of Christianity. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, John Diamond here. Hey, over in the chat, I put up an article 2 days ago on Bradley Dean's website saying the exact same thing you did about Jeffries. It's called 2020 Election, Woe to the Priests and Prophets. And I basically rebuked John MacArthur for his false Romans 13 teaching and also Jeffries for endorsing Biden. So you're absolutely right. I mean, the problem that we got in the Christian church today is the priests and the prophets, you know, and Christ is raising up, just like we've talked about in the past. Christ is going out and he's getting people like you and me. he went out and got the fishermen and the drug pushers and the prostitutes, and he got them saved. And now they went out and boldly proclaimed the word because the scribes and the Pharisees weren't doing it. And that's exactly what we're seeing in America today. God is going out and getting the people that aren't in the pulpit to speak God's word. You, me, Bradley Dean, Matt Truella.
He's calling the herd, folks. He's cutting the herd down.
Yeah, hey, Coach.
Ichabod to those sissy men standing in the pulpit. I'm just telling it like it is. You can get as mad as you want. We have sissy men standing in our pulpits. Not Dale Socia.
Hey,
Coach. I'll name some. But for the most part, we have sissy men leading Christianity in America. Prim.
Hey, Coach.
Proper men. We don't have John the Baptist guys. We don't have locusts and wild. No. They get on 3-piece suits and they're sitting in boardrooms and they're telling the rest of us just to behave and obey the king, even though the king is wicked.
Coach, is there any place in all those scriptures that talk about all these people bringing error and all that kind of stuff into the church, all those instances in the New Testament where it warns us about this? Is there any one of those cases where it says, oh, but take those people that taught you wrong, take those people that are in there to do wrong and to change and pervert things, take them and just love them right back into the kingdom again? I can't remember that being in any of those instances.
It's not in there, Larry. It's not.
Hey, Coach.
Listen. Yeah.
We've been talking about people floating in water. I understand that. Okay. But scripture says, shake the dust off your feet and move on.
Amen.
Because his people are out there. We'll get them. But you can't worry about the rest of them.
I can't. John, listen. If you have to wipe butts to be a pastor, I don't want any part of the job. Sorry.
Come on.
If that's what being a pastor is, wiping noses and wiping butts and drying people's tears out of their eyes, I want nothing to do with it. Sorry.
Amen, Coach. And as a pastor, I say this, man. Listen, I have no problem giving the milk bottle to a new baby Christian. But if I got to split a mustache, we got a problem here.
That's right, brother.
Amen, Dale.
Good luck. Okay, let me shift gears. I had to get that off my chest because I'm overwhelmed. And so proud of the men who, over the last 3 weeks, I'm so proud of you guys. I'm just so proud of you guys. And we're finding out. Some of you are finding out what it's like to take your skirt off and put on some big boy pants. And your faith is growing, and your life's going to change as a result of it. And it's going to be you guys who are putting on your big boy pants that the world's going to turn to. Trust me. They ain't turning to Robert Jeffress and John MacArthur. We had enough of them. Those guys, everything rises and falls with leadership. And look at the type of men that modern Christianity has created. Men who sit in the pew and then go home and masturbate to porn. That's what we got going on. Sorry. I'm just telling you the truth.
Coach,
Let's move on. Let's talk about something good.
This is why we got lawyers in D.C. instead of warriors.
Yeah,
I'm going to steal that one, too. Lawyers instead of warriors.
Coach, when we lose a game.
Hey. Let me speak up for all the lawyers out there. I will say one thing. If it is the Constitution that saves us, and I think that's what most of us say that it's going to be, it was written by lawyers.
Hey, yeah, but you still need a black robe regiment, Roger.
That's right.
I know that, but the greatest document the world has ever seen is going to be the document that most likely will put Trump into presidency.
After the lawyer screwed it up for 60 years.
Yeah, but we're coming back to the original document.
But
But Roger, always remember this, just like pastors, you can never say you're speaking for all of them. You're speaking about a handful of them. That, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Guys, that's listen, I'm half joking with you. I understand that there's
You better problems. Get down here, Roger. I'm going to straighten you out, man.
Yeah, you're the only lawyer in here, Roger.
Hey Mike, do you have any
Do you have any pictures? Can you pull up that picture? Dale Socia showed up down at the Guidestones, folks. Dale Socia was MVP. He showed up with a 16-foot cross that we put on top of those, over those Guidestones. He showed up with huge copies of the Ten Commandments that we stood in front of those Guidestones. We did a Jericho walk around it. We laid hands on it and prayed those things down. Mike, do you have a picture of that that you can put up there? I can't see it. Guys, I can't see anything on the screen, so I apologize if it's already up there. Is it up there? Okay.
Dave, I want to come in here real quick. Go ahead. Okay, you talk about Jeffers in there, and he endorsed Biden. Well, you need to know that Biden's is modern day Nero, and Nero oversaw the fall of Rome came, and so we're the closest thing to that now with America the way it's going. I think Biden's probably the new Nero, or you know, that equivalent of that. Anyway, it was a squirrel moment.
So Chad, here's the issue, folks. Here's the issue. Does Romans 13 teach us to support and come alongside a baby killer?
No.
A sodomite support. Now, listen, is Jesus Christ our king or is Joe Biden our king? And the church is going to have to come to the point where we're going to have to deal with that, friends. They say, well, you weren't talking like this when Obama was in. Yeah, I was. Okay, folks. So there you see the group shot. We got a few people that are missing there. Dr. Bob Roof, listen to this one. Dr. Bob Roof called me Tuesday night about 6:00. Says, "Coach, I'm coming." I said, "What?" He said, "I'm coming." He's in Iowa. He said, "I'm coming. The Lord told me that I need to be there." He jumps in his car, and he drove. I don't know how long. He got there like 8:30. This thing starts at 9. He drove straight there to be part of it. He's not in the picture. He's not in the picture, but he's there. And so there you see these Guidestones, and they want us to tell that it's really good. They talk about humanity and loving one another, and 8 different languages. It's all so good and tolerant and acceptable. And Jesus Christ ain't mentioned one time in there, folks. And I don't know what you think. That's the first thing I check for righteousness. That name there? That name wasn't there. So Dale shows up with his van stuffed full of stuff. You can see, I can't see the picture, but I know you guys can. Put together that cross and put that cross over the top of that thing. Got those great big Ten Commandments, put them out there, and there we are with our pictures taken in front of them. We went in and we tore down some kingdoms. Is Mark Trump in here? I don't know if he is.
Yeah, I'm in here, Coach.
Okay, Mark, I want you to talk a little bit because I want people to understand. I want people to understand. Chad did something else really good yesterday. Because we've been talking about connections and wires and frequencies. And Chad said, no, I said, it's like a water hose. I said, it's a water hose. That big tower, it's a water hose. And it, pss, 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 pss. It comes around, sprinkles on you. Pss, 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 pss. It just keeps doing it. Pss, pss, pss. And it just continues to. And he said, we got to cut off that hose. We got to break that hose. Mark, go ahead and explain to everybody from a frequency standpoint what you're seeing so that we can get a greater understanding of the communication, the way communication is taking place in the dark realm. Folks, listen, the dark realm is communicating and we're not.
Sure, Coach. Mark. Yeah, absolutely. Getting my sound hooked up here. Well, one note is
all of the things that God made from the very, very, very beginning has a natural frequency. Rock has a natural frequency. Each kind of rock has a natural frequency. And if it's a pure limestone, if it's pure granite, if everyone typed in granite frequency on Google, you're going to find that it's 6,900 hertz. So underneath the Georgia Guidestones is apparently the largest granite reserve on Earth, or one of the biggest granite spots. It's 35 miles wide by 6 miles by 3 miles deep, 2 to 3 miles deep. So if that's the case, the ground itself is emanating 6.9 kilohertz, just like a radio station. So the question comes up, why would they position these stones like antennas on top of a 6.9 kilohertz signal? This is like a radio tower. Coach said a cell tower. So it begs the question, who's communicating to whom? So I theorize, this is just a theory from a little hillbilly brain, that somebody's talking here. This is put there for a reason. It's not an accident. And I was thinking it's one-way communication. We're sending a signal out. Well, I'm not so sure. Somebody told me yesterday that aren't there fallen angels trapped in the core of the earth?
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be possible that somebody's communicating to that antenna? And then underground, there could be communication to those angels. I don't know, Coach. What we are understanding and what we know in the text, and I've taught it, is prince of the power of the air. That Satan is the angel of light.
Hang on, hold on. Hey, sure. Mike, bring up Psalm 2. Keep going, Mark. Bring up Psalm 2.
Yeah, so you got Satan, who's the angel of light, light's frequency. Right? Maybe he was God's angel of light. Was. But we know when God saw darkness, he sent light to separate it. Praise God. That was way before the sun on day 4. So, frequencies. Prince of the power of the air. You got your eyes, your ears. Mm-hmm. You got sound. You got light. You got TV. You got everything that we're influenced by is controlled by Satan. Yep.
Mark, listen. Yep. It doesn't say he's prince of the air.
No.
He's prince of the power of the air.
Right. right. And we have to have faith of substance of things unseen. And these are the light. This is the God-given light he gave to us. So here you have a system with an antenna, with a frequency source under the crust of the earth, 3 miles thick. And it's communicating, whether or not we think it is or not, or what it's for or not. It is communicating that frequency, Coach. So the way this works is if another frequency is in the midst of that frequency, say a sound wave, it'll be transmitted out. If you put, I'll use Chad's analogy. He's very good at coaching. He said, Mark, people don't really understand you. And Coach says, yeah, I go on and on and on. And probably I apologize for that. But this stuff excites me. I love uncovering the enemy's devices. I love it, guys. So what if I put some blue dye in the water? What does the water turn? What does the water turn? Turns blue. So if I speak into that signal, that's my voice is in that 6.9 kilohertz. That's called radio. You have one in your car. You tune it to 99.1 kilohertz. Well, that's the carrier frequency. And then people talk and you hear their voice. That's because the radio in your car takes the blue dye out of the water.
Mm.
Okay. The water is a 6.9 kilohertz granite resonant frequency. And it's possible that any frequency in that is going to be modulated on it and transmitted. Either into the earth or out of the earth.
My sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not hear. There are other voices, aren't there, Mark? There's voices out there. How are voices?
Oh, my word.
How do voices work? They create a frequency. You yes. guys right now recognize my voice, don't you? If I wasn't here and the show started and I started talking, you would say, well, that's Coach. Why? You recognize my frequency.
Amen.
My goodness.
Amen. So there's more around this. I'm not going to go into it. But do know this. There's more of these rock sculptures on Earth, such as Stonehenge, mm-hmm. formed in a formation. They got big circles around them. There's a landmass. I haven't studied this. I just got home. But I bet you there's a similar underground formation. Stephanie brought this to our attention about the granite. So God bless her for revealing that to us.
Is Alan Zeifer, is Alan in here?
What you notice also, Mark and Coach, the men and women, if you noticed around there, that was farmer's land. Nothing was growing on that farmer's land. Nothing.
No.
Yeah, Coach.
What's up, that's Morse's out there. Okay, Alan, Coach, hang on a second, Alan. Because hey, Mike, do you have Psalm 2 up there? Okay, read it for me, Mike. Verses 1 and 2, because I want you to see something. When I was speaking to Pastor Clint's, I saw it last night. So read those first two verses for me. Somebody else read it for him. Okay, Joseph, read them.
No problem. Oh, go ahead, Joseph.
Somebody, anybody read it.
All right, here we go. Psalms chapter 2. Why are the nations in an uproar and the people devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away the cords from us.
Okay, hang on. Can somebody give me a King James?
I'll give you a King James.
I got it on the screen.
It's important. It's important. Okay?
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break these bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh.
Break what? Break what?
They're bands. Wavelengths.
Bands, Mark. Wavelengths. Bands,
that's right. That's right.
Oh, my Lord. See, they are communicating. And their bands are connected to people. They're telling us lies. They're telling us Joe Biden's president. They're telling us Kamala's vice president. We got to break their bands.
Coach, we set up a new cell tower there. We set up a new cell tower there, brother. With the Ten Commandments is the new message to be singled from them.
Okay, now hang on. Stay with me here a second. Because Alan Zeifer yesterday, when he got up and he got preaching, hey, Alan, tell the folks about the rocks crying out, brother.
Well, Coach, in order for a rock to cry, is when the Sadducees and Pharisees attacked Jesus and told him to tell his disciples to shut up, he said, if these didn't praise me, the rocks would cry out. To make a rock cry, you got to have an earthquake, a volcano, an asteroid, or a comet. We don't want to hear the rocks cry out, brother.
Rocks have a voice, huh? Rocks have a frequency.
Coach.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is deep.
Can you hear me?
Coach, yeah,
Coach, what I did, nobody, and I don't care. I don't need any recognition, anything about that. I planted 5 smooth stones around that feature, and I had already prayed over them, anointed them, and now, Coach, they're crying out a frequency because of what we did. Those rocks did just like in Joshua. When they heard those words that God wrote on them, spoke to them, they had frequency.
Yes, sir.
Coach, they're planted. They're in the ground there, Coach. They are, to me, I think we did a spiritual, a prophetic event. We replaced the wavelength there, Coach.
You know, Coach, I think that the word that was just read about the rocks crying out, it says if they, I think it was speaking of his disciples, if they don't speak out, it says then the rocks will cry out. You know what it takes for the rocks to cry out? For those who are belong to Jesus, to keep their mouths shut and do nothing. That's what makes the rocks cry out.
That's true. That's true.
Amen, Larry. Amen.
So, I lost my train of thought. Come on in. I'll get it.
Larry, we're not there now. We're gone. Guess what's still there? Those rocks that we set there and the cross.
Amen.
And the word of God we set there and the frequency we set there and the anointing we set there and the spirit we set there. That is still remaining because we laid our head there. Just like he told when Jacob fought with the angel, God told him, take this rock and lay your head on it. Because why? I have just now placed Bethel there. He called that place Bethel. He said, this is the house of God. Coach, when we take our feet and we set our feet there and we put our hand there and we put our head there, God says, now that place is Bethel. That is the house of God. And Amen. It became God's portal. And he saw angels going up and down in a portal there on the ladder. And coach, that is what we just did.
And the word says we give an account for every word spoken. Let me tell you what, then the words we spoke there are still alive. They're still there. They still resonate.
They're still active. Okay. Okay. Listen, folks, also, while we were there, see, we were in Georgia for a reason. There's 50 states. Could have gone a lot of places. The future of American politics appears right now to be resting very heavily on Georgia. They're going to have two Senate runouts. There are now 50 Republican senators. There's going to be a double runoff down in Georgia for two more senators. If the left were to win those, it would be a 50-50 tie, and then the vice president would be under the control of Democrats, right? Of the left, of the God-hating left. So we were there, and while we were there, somebody came over and handed me their phone and says, look at this, coach. While we were there, the state of Georgia announced that they were going to do a hand recount. A hand recount. What does that mean? None of those fake ballots are going to get through. None of them are going to get through. Now, you could say it's a coincidence that we just happened to be there and that just happened to happen. So you can say that if you want to. We went to Bill Barr's, and then Bill Barr begins an investigation into voter fraud. And we go to Georgia, and they start doing a hand-by-hand recount.
It's not just a recount, Coach. They're doing an audit. An audit. That's huge.
An audit. How much time do I have? What time is it? I can't even have a clock in this car. I do got it all. All right. Okay, now listen. Hey, listen. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you this. Some of us are going to go to Washington, D.C. this weekend. There's a Stop the Steal rally or whatever, some type of big rally that's going on. Some of us are already committed to going. Yeah, I'm going to get home, kiss my wife, my grandbabies, and then I'm going to get my car and go back. And I got about four guys that said, hey, coach, I want to ride with you. And Mike and Polly are going to come. Some other people are going to come. If you are interested in going to Washington, D.C. for a million man march, which it won't be a million, but it doesn't matter. We've got to stand up now. We can't do it 3 weeks from now. We got to start standing up and pushing back now. So I'm saying to all of you out there, again, as always, this is, hey, we're hostile, agile, and mobile. We are a SWAT team. We're first ones on the ground. We are now, I'm going to do a turnaround, go home, kiss my wife, get in a car, and go back to Washington, D.C. this weekend. Some of you out there could do the exact same thing. If you're interested in going or need more details, Mike, do they contact me? What should I have them do? Just email me and I'll connect you. We are going for a rally at 12 noon Saturday, 12 noon Saturday rally with patriots all across America. So I'm throwing that out there. If anybody wants to go, we're going to be there.
Which email?
Anyone? Coach at PT Salt. Coach at Coach Dave Live. I'm going to start doing that one all the time. Coach at Coach Dave Live. Anyone, you send an email to me. And we'll try
or PT Salt. PT Salt at gmail.com. Either one.
Oh, my goodness. Now you see, that's the third one. Coach at CoachDaveLive.com. I'm Coach Dave. I'm live. And I'm Coach. Coach at CoachDaveLive.com. Coach at CoachDaveLive.com. Say, I want to go. You say, listen, Coach, I live in Pennsylvania, but I'd still like to go. Can somebody pick me up? I don't know, but maybe we can network. We'll try. We'll try. Do the best we can. Warm me out today. I'm tired. I'm tired. I've got 5 hours to drive home.
Hey, Coach.
I love the way you guys play. I love the way you guys play. I appreciate everybody who's there. It'll be a memory you'll never forget. And we'll never know till the other side, if even then, what impact it had that we did it. But I know this. We didn't just sit in our prayer closet and pray the Lord would do something. We gave him a sacrifice that he can work with. And his word says that he's going to do that. He's going to do something. Maybe not be what we think, but it wasn't for nothing. Love all you guys. Appreciate you all.
Dave.
Yeah,
right. Now listen, you're 5 hours out. Don't be stupid. If you need an hour nap, you pull the slide, you take a nap, okay?
What?
That's your lawyer talking, Coach.
I'm just saying, don't. If you're tired, we don't want you to wrap that car around a tree because you fall asleep.
I got you.
Pull off the road. Close your eyes for an hour, then get back driving. Okay.
Yep, yeah. Hey, Roger.
I love you, Roger.
Roger, so that you'll know all about it. Of the 55 framers of the Constitution, 32 of them were lawyers. That's 58%.
I know, baby. I can't help it if you guys all have a man crush on me.
Where's the lawyer?
Jesus hated the lawyers.
We'll get the lawyers out.
He's the lawgiver. He's the lawgiver.
Yeah, God bless you. See you tomorrow.
Hey, now, coaching.
You're off. Love how you roll, Coach. So Friday, 1301 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Freedom Plaza, it's called. And we'll do everything we can, Coach. Just forward those emails to Polly, whatever. We'll do follow up and do whatever we do. We'll do whatever we need to do. Let me say a quick prayer for Coach, if you don't mind. Lord, we pray that you would draw close to Coach now in his weariness as he's driving. Thank you that he has one of these hot new rental cars, and that'll help him. And we pray you just be close to him, drive with him, bring him home safe to his wife and family, turn him around quick, and bring him to Washington, D.C. to help us save our nation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ha ha ha.